This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Monday, March 23rd, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News, which will talk about the danger of skiing accidents, referring to the recent tragic death of actress Natasha Richardson. And we'll have a look at your forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, a look at today's news. Governor Pat Quinn says he realizes that his proposal to raise income taxes could cost him another term, but he maintains he has to do what's right. Quinn said in a press conference yesterday that he thinks the state's residents want a governor who levels with them, and he says that the tax proposal was the only honest and honorable thing to do. Quinn says the state is in deep debt, and it needs more revenue so it can pay its bills. He says businesses may have to lay off workers if they're not paid. His budget plan calls for raising personal and corporate income taxes by 50%, increasing cigarette taxes and charging more for driver's licenses and automobile registrations. He says critics of his plan should make their own proposals. U.S. Senator Dick Durbin is defending President Barack Obama's budget plan. He says he's less concerned about estimates of its effect on the national deficit than its immediate effect on the economy. Todd Fuhrer has that story.
Last week, the Congressional Budget Office estimated the president's spending plan would add more than $1.5 trillion to the deficit over the next 10 years. But Senator Durbin says it's difficult to predict what will happen to the economy or the deficit that far out.
Who could have guessed 2 years ago what the economy would look like today? Nobody.
Durbin says he believes Obama is on the right track by trying to inject more money into the economy to end the recession, create new jobs, and help businesses survive. He says the sooner the economy turns around, the sooner the deficit will start to shrink.
I am not as worried about the 10-year deficit today as I am about what the economy is going to look like 6 or 12 months from now.
Durbin is also defending Illinois Governor Pat Quinn's budget plan. Some have said Quinn is using too much stimulus money to reduce the state deficit rather than spending it directly on education. Durbin says he thinks Quinn is using the stimulus money as it was intended. I'm Todd Fuhrer.
The president of the union that represents Illinois State Police says he's looking forward to working with the newly appointed director of the agency. Governor Quinn named 29-year-old West Point graduate Jonathan Munkin to the post Sunday. The Army captain replaces Larry Trent, who abruptly resigned on Friday. L.H. Buddy Parker is president of Illinois Troopers Lodge 41 of the Fraternal Order of Police. He says he's not met Munkin, but is looking forward to working with him. Parker says Munkin can draw upon the experience of others within the department. Munkin says he hopes to quickly win over older officers with more experience. He says he's a good listener and a quick study and hasn't decided whether he'll wear a state police uniform. Munkin served as platoon leader in Kosovo and Iraq. A weekend car crash near St. Louis has claimed the lives of three Eastern Illinois University students from India. NEIU spokeswoman says 23-year-old Anusha Anumalu, 23-year-old Anitha Veera Panini, and 22-year-old Priya Mupavarapu were all pronounced dead at the scene early Saturday morning. Veera Panini's cousin also died in the crash, and the driver was hurt. The Missouri Highway Patrol says an off-duty suburban St. Louis police officer crashed her car into theirs nearly head-on after driving in the wrong lane. Authorities say 41-year-old Chrissy Miller may have been drinking. University spokeswoman Vicki Woodard called the deaths a tremendous loss to the EIU community. A memorial trip to St. Louis is being planned. Colleges and universities would have no authority to prevent their own police officers from carrying guns on school property under a measure advancing in the Illinois legislature. Sean Crawford has more.
High-profile shootings like the one at Northern Illinois University last year has brought more support to the idea of making sure campus officers are armed. While many campuses already allow officers to have firearms, others don't. Orland Park House Democrat Kevin McCarthy says the final decision should be up to the school's trustees. He says officers at NIU were armed and it had no effect.
And let's remember, the armed policeman there did not stop that. The man shot himself to death before the armed policeman could even take effect.
But supporters say campus police need guns to protect themselves and students. NIU is in Republican Bob Pritchard's district.
And in the case of Northern Illinois University, Representative McCarthy, the individual took his life because he saw a police officer, and he thought that police officer might be armed. We can't assume that's going to be the outcome in the next occasion that happens in this state.
The measure passed the Illinois House and now moves to the Illinois Senate for consideration. I'm Sean Crawford.
An Associated Press analysis finds U.S. nursing homes have become dumping grounds for young and middle-aged people with mental illness. That's proved a prescription for violence. A 77-year-old man with Alzheimer's died after being smashed in the face with a clock radio at a Chicago nursing home. His roommate, a mentally ill man nearly 30 years younger, was arrested and charged with the killing. And in Elgin, a 21-year-old man diagnosed with bipolar disorder was charged with raping a 69-year-old fellow resident at their nursing home. Janet Wells of the National Citizens Coalition for Nursing Home Reform says tragedies can result from the failure of governments to provide appropriate treatment and housing for the mentally ill and to provide a safe environment for the frail and elderly. State police say they cited 83 people for underage drinking following several parties in the Peoria area after the first day of a high school state basketball tournament. Illinois State Police Sergeant Tony Halsey says most of those ticketed after Friday's game day were high school students. Police say the arrests included 27 students allegedly from Chicago's Whitney Young High School. That school won a semifinal game Friday and took home the Illinois 4A title Saturday night. Chicago Public Schools spokeswoman Monique Bond says the allegations require further investigation and remain under internal review. Halsey says the 56 others cited were mostly from Peoria area high schools. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Foster. Since Natasha Richardson's death last week, there's been talk about skiing accidents and the dangers of skiing. It's an issue that the law has grappled with and finds fairly easy, as commentator Amy Guida explains in this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
As I write this, we don't know for certain what happened to Natasha Richardson at the ski resort in Canada, or precisely what caused her epidural hematoma. But there seems to be agreement that she fell during a ski lesson on an easy hill, one of the so-called bunny hills. Skiing, simply put, can be dangerous. And usually when one undertakes a dangerous thing, one has assumed the risk of injury springing from that dangerous thing. A federal court in Missouri, for example, decided that a 16-year-old inexperienced skier who fell on the slopes and suffered brain damage couldn't successfully sue the ski resort for her injuries. If the resort had been negligent in some way, the court reasoned, then there might be liability because any risk created by the resort's negligent act would not be a risk inherent in the sport itself. But here, the court explained, the fact that the teenager was thrown 5 feet into the air after hitting some sort of bump was part of the skiing bargain. Experts had testified during the trial about a certain unpredictability in skiing and that inherent risks in the sport include losing control, falling, colliding with objects and other skiers, encountering variations in snow surface terrain, variable weather conditions, and low visibility. Those sorts of dangers are so obvious, they say, that no resort owner should be forced to pay should someone be injured because of them. Those dangers are even part of the statutes in some states. Utah, for one, suggests that all skiers must be aware of impediments like bare spots, forest growth, rocks, stumps, stream beds, cliffs, trees, and other objects, in addition to more general dangers. The same risk assumption holds true even when the skier is on the slopes for the very first time. A woman in Maine who fell on a bunny hill and who'd signed a contract containing language that she recognized that skiing has an inherent danger didn't prevail in her lawsuit. She'd argued that because she was such a novice, she relied more on statements made by her instructor, assurances like there's nothing to worry about and that nothing bad would happen, even though the instructor knew at the time that there'd been a large number of injuries during the beginner's class. The court found that the instructor's words were simply statements of opinion and didn't negate the contract. Any other decision, the court wrote, would seem to imply that ski resorts had the duty to warn all beginning skiers of every possible type of injury. This is not to say that no one has ever sued a ski resort successfully. A beginning skier in Utah could sue because she argued that the contract she'd signed wasn't as clear as the law required, and that she'd been incorrectly advised that her old ski boots would be compatible with new bindings. We don't know for sure what happened to Natasha Richardson, and what happened after her fall regarding medical treatment may be more relevant than the fall itself. But the Washington Post reported that during last year's ski season, 53 people were killed while skiing or snowboarding in the U.S., and about 10,000 more suffered some sort of head injury. With those sorts of numbers, it's clear why the law is not generally amenable to skiing-related lawsuits. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. In the forecast for today, expect mostly cloudy skies, the high around 60. Tonight, mostly cloudy, the low around 48. Mostly cloudy tomorrow. There's a chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon, the high around 68. Windy with wind gusts from 25 to 40 miles per hour. Windy Tuesday night as well. Occasional showers and thunderstorms expected, the low around 45. And wind gusts up to 35 miles an hour. Partly sunny Wednesday, the high around 55. Partly cloudy Wednesday night and Thursday with lows around 38, the high around 62 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Monday, March 23rd, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.